thank you everyone for coming this morning, and for all those who are watching and listening over the airwaves. That's what we used to say with regard to the radio, right? The airwaves or on Zoom. I pray that you'll be blessed this morning by the word of the Lord. So we are again in the Old Testament, and there are so many gems, of course, in all of the scriptures. But you find so many jewels of encouragement in the Old Testament. And some of the books that we consider to be small contain powerful encouragement for us. And in this little book this morning that we are looking at, the book of Ruth, there are great encouragement for us this morning. The book of Ruth is one of the two books in the Old Testament or in the Bible that's named after a woman. A couple of weeks ago, we looked partially at the book of Esther. And today, I want to look at Ruth. You know, Esther married to a Gentile, and God used her. Ruth is a Gentile who married to a Jew, and God used her for his glory. But I want to begin with Ruth's great declaration of commitment, and then we'll go through the story briefly. Then we'll see what the story actually means and how it applies to us. So here, in Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, I would like to read this very profound statement, I would say, of faith or trust, vow, resolve. And Ruth here is speaking to her mother-in-law. We'll see this later on in the story. But here is the great statement of resolve. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me." What a profound statement of declaration and resolve, which is actually backed up by a vow, an oath. In verse 17, see the oath? She says, "Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me." So this vow is located, of course, within a story. And may I say it's a true story? It is not a myth. It actually happened. And we'll see how very important this story is in the context of the scriptures. So Ruth, she was a Gentile, a Moabite. But before she comes into the story begins with a family who were living at the time of the judges. We're told that in verse 1 of Ruth, that it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab. So here is this little family dwelling in Bethlehem, which means house of bread, the place where Jesus was born. And they were living in the days of the judges. And this is an important statement here, because when you recall the book of Judges, you would see that it was a book that contained chaos, anarchy. In fact, the book of Judges has the statement repeated often that in those days there was no king and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So that was the nature or the characteristic of the days of the judges. There was anarchy, there was chaos. But the book of Ruth reminds us that in the midst of chaos, all is not lost. There is a family who actually lived godly. There's a family who lived according to the law of God. And that should encourage us even today that in the midst of all the chaos, we should always remember that there are those who are Christians. In the midst of chaos, there is order. In the midst of a chaotic world, in the midst of a dark world, there is still light that shines. And so this family left Bethlehem because there was a famine, we were told, and they went to a place called Moab. And Moab was on the border of Jordan, on the outskirts, on the east of Palestine. And so the father took his family, Elimelech, took his wife, whose name was Naomi. Her name means pleasantness. She must have been a very beautiful woman, not just externally, but one who has a beautiful spirit. A very pleasant person. That's what her name means. And they had two sons whose name were Mahlon and Chilion. And they went down to Moab, because there was a famine in Bethlehem. And while they were there in Moab, the two sons of Elimelech and Naomi got married. They were Jews and they married to Gentiles. So the names of the wives of the sons, Orpah and Ruth. And so they lived there for about 10 years. 10 years. But something happened, something tragic happened, which I skipped over in verse 3 of chapter 1. It said that Naomi's husband died. Elimelech died while they were there in Moab. And she was left with her two sons, and after that, she lost her two sons. They both died also. So she is left there in Moab with just her daughter-in-laws. And then after 10 years, she decided to go back or to return to Bethlehem. Because while she was in Moab, she learned that the famine was over and God was providing food for his people. And so she departed from that place with her two daughter-in-laws, or daughters-in-law, rather. And they went on their way to return to Bethlehem. Two daughters-in-law, remember. Orpah and Ruth. Now, while they were returning to Bethlehem, Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go back. Go back to your mother's house, and may the Lord be kind to you, and may the Lord bless you as you have dealt with me," Naomi said. She told them to go back. And she kissed them goodbye, and the two daughters-in-law wept. But one of the two daughters-in-law returned and went back to her mother's place. That's Orpah. She left and she went back to her mother's place. She wanted not to go to Bethlehem. She kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, and Ruth embraced her, she held her, and Naomi went back. But Ruth did not. She cleaved to her mother-in-law. Even though Naomi was urging Ruth and Orpah to go back, Ruth says, "Please do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you." She clung to her mother-in-law. What a beautiful story of mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. It's possible. It's possible. And so Ruth made this declaration. She made this vow that she would stick with her mother-in-law. So they both left Moab and they went to Bethlehem. And when they returned to the city, and this is after 10 years after her husband and her sons died, 10 years after her sons died, she went back to Bethlehem. And when her people saw Naomi, when she returned back to Bethlehem, they asked the question, "Is this Naomi?" Verse 19, "Is this Naomi?" And she said to them, "Don't call me Naomi," which means pleasant. "Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." She said, "Don't call me pleasant anymore, because I am bitter. I have lost my husband, I have lost my sons, and have nothing." So she's in a state of bitterness. I know how this is relevant today. One of the sad stories, and there are many sad stories that we do hear in light of the pandemic, but one of the sad stories I heard over and over is of children who lost both parents, and parents who lost two or three children to the pandemic, the COVID-19. I heard of a husband and wife who died days apart, and the children are left behind. And I'm sure this story is repeated over and over all over the world. People are dying. Families are left in sadness and sorrow. People are losing not just their lives, but they're also losing their livelihood. And this is a time when many people can become very bitter. Like Naomi, she says, "Don't call me pleasant. This is not a pleasant time for me." She says, "Call me bitter." What a sad thing. So they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. So after they returned to Bethlehem, it was a time of harvest. And this is very important because we should remember that Ruth is a stranger. And moreover, she is a Moabite. And Moabites were not allowed to enter into the congregation of the people of Israel. They were not allowed. So she was not just a stranger, but she was an outcast. She was not allowed to fellowship with God's people because of her race, her culture. Now we're told that Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, in other words, a member of her husband's family who was still alive. He was wealthy, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of the grain." So Ruth wanted to go and glean among the harvest, She was a stranger. But God made reservations in the law for strangers to actually glean from the harvest of the children of Israel. And so Ruth went there, and, you know, God is in the background of the story. God is actually setting up this whole match. He's just like a matchmaker here. Even though Naomi is acting as a matchmaker, God is behind the scenes, and he's the one who is working out this. So we are told in verse 3 of chapter 2, so she departed and went and gleaned, that is Ruth, gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened, now it's very interesting that word, she happened. And I was reading the Tanakh, the Jewish translation of the Bible. And it translates this word as look. It says, as it were, look. And I kind of rejected that translation because as God's people, we understand look as something that just happened haphazardly. But this is in all of God's providence. So it happened, verse 3. She happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, may the Lord be with you. And they said to him, may the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? So Boaz queried about this woman. And the servant in charge of the reapers answered and said, she is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. So I could imagine when Ruth and Moab returned to Bethlehem, they might have been at the status of celebrities. Because everyone must have heard about this Moabite who came back with Naomi. And who is this young lady? And Boaz was told that she came with Naomi. And Ruth said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. And so she came and remained until morning. She was there all day, sitting in the house for a little while. Then Boaz said to Ruth, listen carefully, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? So Ruth is stunned by this expression of love from Boaz, who is an Israelite. But yet he demonstrated this, what we call in the Old Testament, hesed, love and kindness, unconditional love. She's a stranger. And Ruth was struck with such expression of grace. But then Boaz answered and said, all that you have done for your mother-in-law, right? Ruth must have done much for her mother-in-law, so Boaz is repaying her. He says, all that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward you, your work, and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. Now may I say at this point, when Ruth earlier said in chapter 1 and verse 16, that your God will be my God, she's actually making a covenant here. And by making this covenant, she has to abandon her gods. She has to give up the gods she worshipped in Moab and embrace the God of Israel. And so she has now become part of a people of God. And then Ruth responded to Boaz's blessing. She says, "I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." And then at mealtime, we are told that, verse 14, chapter 2, Boaz said to Ruth, "Come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. Now there's something that has been built up here, so let's be a little patient. When she arose to glean, Boaz commanded his servant, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. And also you shall purposely pull out for her some grain and from the bundles and leaves, and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Now, one of the things that we can see here about Ruth is that she was a hard worker. That she went out in the field and she gleaned. She was a hard worker. So she gleaned in the field until evening, all day. And then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. Her mother-in-law then said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where did you work? May the Lord, who took notice of you, be pleased." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked, and said, "The name of the man with whom I have worked today is Boaz." And I could see lightning sparkling in Naomi's head, because that's exactly what she wanted. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead." Again, Naomi said to her, "The man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives." Now, that is significant, because remember, Ruth is a stranger. She's a Moabite. Her sons, who are Israelites, they had inheritance left back in Bethlehem. They had no children. So therefore, someone had to continue what the sons could not do for Ruth, give her children and repurchase her inheritance. I'm kind of going ahead here, but that's what this is all about. So Ruth the Moabitess, verse 21, chapter 2, "Furthermore, he said to me, 'You should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest.' And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, 'It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids, lest others fall upon you in another field.' So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law." So in chapter 1, we see Ruth returning. In chapter 2, we see Ruth reaping the harvest. And now in chapter 3, we'll see how Ruth is redeemed. So Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to Ruth, "My daughter, shall I not seek security?" You notice, she didn't call Ruth my daughter-in-law. She says, "My daughter," in chapter 3. "Shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?" So the word security here is the same word for rest. And now, is not Boaz our kinsman? Now, that word kinsman means a close relative, one who is qualified to redeem Ruth, one who is qualified to continue the family that Ruth's husband could not give to her. There is a law in the Old Testament that if a husband dies and he has no children, then a close relative should have children with his wife or widow to continue his family line. That's what's happening here. But it has to be a kinsman, a close relative. And so we're told in verse 2, chapter 3, "And now is not Boaz our kinsman, with whose maids you were? Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight." So Naomi is setting up Ruth to meet Boaz here. Naomi said to her, "Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself." And in other words, she's saying, take a shower, dress up nice, put some perfume on, make yourself look good, smell good, go down and attract him. Verse 3, again, "Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies. And you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you shall do." So Naomi is given Ruth instruction as how to win over Boaz. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. So when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of the grain. And she came secretly and uncovered his feet and lay down. And it happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled. He was surprised and bent forward, and behold, a woman was lying at his feet. Now, we know a 21st century culture. We may not understand what's happening here. This is a Jewish culture. And what Ruth is doing here is she's actually committing herself to him in that way. This is not something that is immoral that she's doing here. It's just part of the culture. So he saw this woman lying at his feet, and he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative, a kinsman." Then he said, "May you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after young men, whether poor or rich." In other words, he's saying about Ruth here that she has kept herself pure. She's a young lady of integrity. And she impressed him. And then in verse 11 of chapter 3, "And now, my daughter," he said, "do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask, for all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence." You know, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, we read, "Who can find a virtuous wife?" That's the same word that's used here. Excellence is the same word. So I believe that, you know, this story of Ruth is a commentary of that woman in Proverbs chapter 31. A virtuous woman. That's the same word here. Woman of excellence. And so Boaz says, "And now it is true, I am a close relative, a kinsman." But then he says, "However, there is a relative closer than I." In other words, the person who is qualified to redeem the widow's inheritance has to be a very close relative. If it's a cousin and a brother, then the brother is the one who is qualified. You have to be the closest. So Boaz is qualified, but he says, no, there is someone else who is even of a closer blood relative than you. So second cousin is okay, but a first cousin is even better, to be a kinsman. And so that's what Boaz says. And here we can see the honesty of Boaz. He is actually following the law in the Old Testament. And so he instructs Ruth. He said to her in verse 13, "Remain this night, and when morning comes, if he will redeem you," that is the other close relative, "if he will redeem you, good. Let him redeem you. But if he does not wish to redeem you, then I will redeem you. As the Lord lives, lie down until morning." So there is a test. Whether this other closer relative will actually redeem Ruth. So she lay down at his feet until morning and rose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Again he said, "Give me the cloak that is on you and hold it." So she held it, and he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did it go, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley he gave me, for he said, 'Do not go to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" There we see the generosity of Boaz. Then she said, "Wait, my daughter, until you know how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest until he has settled it today." So let's see what will happen, whether this closer relative, this closer kinsman, will accept Ruth. And so Boaz went up, chapter 4, to the gate and sat there. Right, he's sitting at the gate of the city. And behold, the close relative of whom Boaz spoke was passing by. So he said, "Turn aside, my friend. Sit down here, and let me have a little talk with you." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, of course, this is like a court that's happening now. All right. "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the closest relative, "Naomi, who has come back from the land of Moab, has to sell the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech." Elimelech was Naomi's husband, who died in Moab. "So I thought to inform you, saying, buy it before those who are sitting here and before the elders of my people." So he's encouraging this closer relative to repurchase the land, to redeem the land. That's what redeem means, to buy back. Right? It means to buy back. And so Boaz is encouraging his closer, the closer relative to buy back the land, to redeem it. And Boaz says, "But if not, if you don't want to redeem the land, tell me that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am after you." Right? So if this closer relative rejects the offer, the next person in line is Boaz. So Boaz is waiting for this man to make his decision. And he said, "I will redeem it." Ooh. "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field from the land of Naomi," and here's a caveat, "he must not only purchase the land or redeem the land, he must also take Ruth as his wife." You see that in verse 5? Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of the deceased, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance." That's the law in the scriptures. Maybe we can turn there quickly, Deuteronomy chapter 25, just to make sure that we have it in the scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 5. Notice what it says. When brothers live together and one of them dies and has no son, the wife of the deceased shall not be married outside the family to a strange man. Her husband's brother shall go in to her and take her to himself as wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And it shall be that the firstborn whom he bears shall assume the name of the dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out from Israel. But if the man does not desire to take his brother's wife, then his brother's wife shall go up to the gate to the elders and say, "My husband's brother refuses to establish a name for his brother in Israel. He is not willing to perform the duty of a husband's brother to me." Then the elders of his city shall summon him and speak to him. And if he persists and says, "I do not desire to take her," then his brother's wife shall come to him in the sight of the elders and pull his sandals off his foot and spit on his face. And she shall declare, "Thus it is done to the man who does not build up his brother's house." And in Israel his name shall be called the house of him whose sandal is removed. So that's the law that's being followed here. So would he, this closer relative, accept Ruth? Well, notice what it says. Verse 6, chapter 4. And the closest relative said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I jeopardize my own inheritance." Why? What is he saying here? Well, he's saying here that, you know, Naomi's two sons left Bethlehem, they left Israel, they left the land of blessing, the land of promise, even though there was a famine, they left, and they went down to Moab. They married Gentiles. And what happened? They both died. So this closer relative see this as a judgment from God, the death of the sons. So he's saying that they went and married a Gentile and they die. What do you think will happen to me if I do the same thing? I will also lose my inheritance. So he got scared. And therefore he did not redeem it for himself. So he says, "Redeem it for yourself. You may have my right of redemption, for I cannot redeem it." Doesn't want to lose his because he doesn't want to suffer the same fate as Naomi's sons. So here it is in verse 7. It says, "Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning the redemption and exchange of land to confirm any matter. A man removed his sandal and gave it to another. And this was the manner of attestation in Israel. So the closest relative said to Boaz, 'Buy it for yourself.' And he removed his sandal." That's what we just read in Deuteronomy chapter 25. "Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, 'You are witnesses today that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Moreover, I have acquired Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife in order to raise up the name of the deceased of the deceased on his inheritance, so that the name of the deceased may not be cut off from the brothers or from the coat of his birthplace. You are witnesses today.' And all the people who were in the court and elders said, 'We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah.'" You recall Rachel? She was barren. Then she had children. Leah also had children, "both of whom built the house of Israel. And may you achieve wealth in Ephrathah and become famous in Bethlehem. Moreover, may your house be like the house of Perez and Tamar and bore to Judah through the offspring which the Lord shall give you by this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you and is better to you than seven sons has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and said, and laid him in her lap and became his nurse. And the neighbor woman gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." So they called him Obed. Now, briefly, this story is a very beautiful story, great lessons. But the first thing I want to say is that this story began with grief and it ends with joy. It began with death, it ended with life. And so it's an encouragement for us, in spite of how our story may begin, or in whatever condition you are in right now, whether you are in a state of grief, someone has died or perished, it's not the end of the story. As long as God is in it, it is not the end of the story. God is able to turn our grief into joy. Weeping may endure for a night, the Bible says, but joy comes in the morning. Let us never forget that. And let us also remember that God is a God who is merciful and kind. So let us learn, first of all, from Ruth. She was a Moabite. She was a stranger. But she was embraced by the people of Israel. And so Ruth, to me, represents the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we all were lost. We were strangers from the covenant, but God loved us. He took us to himself. And he made us his very own children. We can also learn from Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, the one who was a family of Naomi's husband, a close relative. He reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to redeem us. But in order for him to redeem us, he had to become like us. He had to be made like his brethren. He had to become our close relative, and that's the reason why he took upon himself the flesh and blood, our own likeness, so that we can become his brothers and his sisters, so that he can redeem us. That's exactly what he did on our behalf. And this story also reminds us too that, as I said at the beginning of this message, that in the midst of darkness and chaos, there is light. And this story ends with a genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, which I want to close with here. Do you see that? Notice in verse 18 of chapter 4, "Now these are the generations of Perez. To Perez was born Hezron, and to Hezron was born Ram, and to Ram Aminadab. To Aminadab was born Nahshon, and to Nahshon Salmon, and to Salmon was born Boaz, and to Boaz Obed, and to Obed was born Jesse, and to Jesse David, and then to David was born Jesus Christ, our Savior." So you see, the point here is that God took Ruth, who was a Moabite, and he placed her within the line of the Lord Jesus Christ. Read Jesus' genealogy in Matthew chapter 1, and you would see the names mentioned there. What a beautiful story. In the midst of all this discouragement and chaos, in the midst of strangers, let us realize that God can take any life and turn it around and use it for his glory and for his honor. And we give him thanks, we give him praise, because it is only by his grace and by his grace alone. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your loving kindness that you have demonstrated for us in our true kinsman redeemer, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to redeem us from sin and from death, and to restore us to that which Adam lost in the Garden of Eden. That is eternal life. Thank you so much, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.